We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3rd, chapter number 13, the appearance of Lord Varaha, and text number 49. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone else's heart. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 10th verse, the Lord gives intelligence to pure devotees so that they may be elevated to the highest perfectional stage. It is confirmed herein that a pure devotee who constantly engages in loving service of the Lord is awarded all knowledge necessary to reach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but the Lord's service. If one serves faithfully, there is no possibility of frustration because the Lord Himself takes the charge of devotee's advancement. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart and He knows the devotee's motives and arranges everything achievable. In other words, the pseudo devotees who is anxious to achieve material gains cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of his motives. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and then the Lord is there to help in every way. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militan Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakantamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Shri Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pricharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tasmin prasanne sakalashisham prabho kim durlabham tabiralam labatma bihi ananya drashtya bhajatam guhashaya svayam vidatte svagatim paraha param. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in the transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. So here the conclusion is coming in the matter of performing transcendental devotional service. It's said in the Vedas, that if we have unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna's instructions, all truths are revealed to him. All the Vedic truths are going to be revealed to him. Nothing is going to be left unknown. Because he knows that Supreme Personality of Godhead and his desires. Right? So, the spiritual master has to carry the desire of the Lord, not his own. And it has to be conveyed. Yesterday somebody asked the question, how do we know we have pleased the Lord? So this system is given. The system is given in such a way that practically we can achieve. So, to have an unflinching faith in the order of Guru and Krishna is very important. You know, here the same thing has been confirmed. You know, same thing has been confirmed, and it is not so astonishing. Sometimes people dump the conclusion on Guru or Krishna, but he doesn't do anything. Unless and until they are pleased, where is the possibility? But he has not advanced himself as a pseudo devotee. Everybody knows the cardinal truth lies here. Then, yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasya hi kathitha hi artya prakashante mahatmana. If one has unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna's instructions, then one is revealed from within his own heart the cardinal truth of all Vedic knowledge. And Krishna says, I'm giving that knowledge. Sarvasya chaham radisan nivisto mattah smrtir gnana pohanam cha vedesu sarveshu aham eva vedya vedant krit vedaviteva chaham tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayantite. He arranges within the heart of the devotee provision of buddhi yoga by which he will be able to come to Krishna. So, dadami buddhi yoga. We studied something about buddhi yoga in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Right? Buddhi yoga is not jnana yoga. Buddhi yoga can become fructified if jnana yoga is turned into bhakti yoga. Otherwise, no. Now, impersonalist cannot get directly from the within the heart of the so-called jnani this buddhi yoga. When Krishna says mam upayanti, but the impersonalist doesn't have the foundational faith on the personality aspect. Period. It's a gone case. So, even Paramatma feature, which is a localized aspect, and it is personality of Kshuradakshaya Vishnu, he is unable to perceive him, understand him. Then how come in my heart 400 Vishnu is standing with Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma? He doesn't have faith. He may be giving knowledge, but the knowledge is perceived. But Buddhi Yoga is not received. Knowledge is nothing but information for them. What is realized knowledge is important. Generally, jnana vijnana sahitam yad gyatva mokshashaya shubhat. The jnana and vijnana, knowledge, theoretical knowledge, vijnana means practical knowledge. Sahitam, they don't have practical knowledge of the personality. Neither they can have practical knowledge of impersonal. There is no necessity to perform anything of impersonal. The foundation is not there for them. So, why? Because they have a strong sense of denial to the personality. And such people are called envious. Even though they are jnani, impersonalists are fundamentally envious people. So however they might have, through the studies of Vedas or simply by self, realize some knowledge, it contradicts with all others. Two jnanis cannot remain together even. Even from the same guru, they achieved. They don't give any importance to their guru. Everybody becomes their own. They turn into Mayavadis. So, impersonalists are valid as far as the absolute truth in the impersonal aspect or the influence of aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is concerned. They are valid. But that validity is in theory only. If they have to practice Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanamam Mam Prapadyate, but they do not surrender on their own, somebody has to induce them to surrender. And that is a devotee's job. Without, you know, the mercy of a devotee, a jnani cannot surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. Out of many, many human births that they come and go, the jnanis finally, by the mercy of a pure devotee, is made to surrender. Then Krishna considers that he became a Mahatma. Otherwise, every time he is a Duratma. If one is not a Mahatma, he is a Duratma. We are not Mahatma proofs. So we are Duratmas. You are the only one. Right? Anyway. So, this is the most fundamental aspect of achieving Krishna. Krishna within the heart of a pure devotee makes easy for him to obtain requisite buddhi yoga. That he keeps himself connecting everything and make everything into devotional service. Aren't we supposed to do the same thing? And Krishna even says, yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat johasi, dadasi, yat tapasisi, kaunte, tat kurushvam adarpanam. If we constantly strive to prove that within our lifestyle, everything, then that is also pure devotional service. It doesn't require an external knowledge. The knowledge is divya jnana hriday prakashita. Krishna arranges within the heart of a such constant striver, the devotee. Not only purifying him, but making it available, what? The divine knowledge. Krishna can favor Arjuna directly, the divine knowledge, to see even Vishwarupa. Because they are intimately connected. But for ordinary people who we are striving very hard to keep on connecting our efforts into Krishna conscious efforts, then we may take some time. But nonetheless, purity is the force which is going to act. And everybody has been given opportunities in ISKCON to execute the purity. There is no denial. So, if devotees have specific interest according to their modes of material nature, they can be also adjusted towards this perfection. Tesham satata yuktanam. Our endeavor, it's not prayas. Bhakti is not a prayas. It springs from the heart, but it needs a careful guidance of purification. To perform the acts of devotional service is the natural constitutional occupation of the soul. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book, Bhaktialoka, he explains this endeavor that prayas as atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagra janasangasya laulyam cha shadbir bhakti prad vinashyati. Instead of making us advance and more surrender, prayas is going to destroy our devotional service. So one is called jnana prayas, another is called karma prayas. Jnana prayas, the jnanis always want to strive. Generally, jnanis have a habit. They want to achieve a target of, say, the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Right? So they use meditation technique to concentrate a flame jyoti. Because after all, Brahma Jyoti is also coming from fire. But this fire may be transcendental fire, and they want to relate the material jyoti to be Brahma Jyoti. So they stare and meditate. Alright? And all of a sudden, they say, there was a flash in the mind and he's realized. No. He can't bluff. And not only that, as we said yesterday, that they develop all the conditional states, perfections. Out of 26 qualities, they easily achieve 25. And they also put up a show of an advanced person, and people get confused. But devotees will not get confused. They lack only one quality. That is the constitutional quality. That distinguish between the devotee and a jnani. What is that?
Surrender.
Surrender to the personality. They don't believe in personality. To whom to surrender? Jyoti. It's a neti. Jyoti is neti. Na iti. They try to dig out the whole Vedic literature. They may become expert in cramming out all the Vedic slokas and whatnot, but they cannot rest their attention on the absolute truth, even in impersonal. So they take long time just doing neti, neti, neti and waste their time. When they cannot find in the pages of Vedas, therefore they lit up a little candle and then stare at it. And then they try to imagine the transcendental nature. Come on, give us a break. He can't sustain because the candle wax is going to melt down. It's a limited thing, you know. Every day the guy is practicing and it's cheating. They don't depend upon the instruction of Guru either. Once they know technique, they are on their own. They don't believe in Guru Parampara. Even it may be starting from Adi Shankara, doesn't matter. They don't believe. When Adi Shankara wrote about Dvadasha Panjarika Strotra, about Bhajagovindam, 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 Moodumatte, he compiled only, few verses. But after him, all the Shankaracharyas were there. They added their own in the same strotra, jumping over the spiritual master. But if we see the original, they are worth appreciating, and what the added ones are, forget it. They think because they obtained the mastery in Sanskrit, they know some kind of impersonal tattva, but impersonalism is so much profuse, they don't agree with each other. So everyone has his own matha, and they say hello, that's about it. But no bow down, nothing to each other. Because whom do they bow down? I'm God, myself. You know? So such enmity. Bhagavat says he's an envious person to Krishna. And therefore, eventually he falls down. He doesn't know the service attitude at all. So when he falls down, he picks up service to men and animals and philanthropy, welfare officer. People are obliged to do that, and out of obligation you can't compare the service. So therefore Mayavadis come in the picture and they want to convert their service as service to God. The service to others is equal to service to God. Manav seva, madhav seva. These are all manufactured from their infertile brain. The brain should be fertile to develop love of Godhead, but the brain is infertile because they don't receive buddhi yoga in it. Right? Tatesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Krishna facilitates the buddhi yoga by which means he will be intelligent, not to be swayed away by the mental pressures of their own concocted ideas. Concoction doesn't come from buddhi. The truth is the subject matter of buddhi. The one which is not truth, it comes from any other faculty other than the intelligence. Material intelligence is nothing but polluted intelligence by the three modes of material nature. So they may become expert in their subject matter, but it is not reaching to the absolute truth. For absolute truth, understanding that even when the demigods are being baffled, they become mesmerized, they become very confused that how Lord Krishna is doing. But nonetheless, when his description supersedes the demigods, tatene brahma radaya adi kave muhyanti surayah tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo trishargo amrusha. Even in matter of creation, sustenance and dissolution, the changes that occur, that from subtle to gross during manifestation, and gross is being dissolved again into its own subtlety. Demigods are baffled. Oh my God, what is happening? So what to speak of human being? Then again, the personality aspect, dhamna smena sada nirastha kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. He is unfathomable. His abode is unfathomable. This is the personal aspect. Otherwise, even personality and his super excellent activities are bewildering to the demigods, who are supposed to be controller of their gross activities of manifested material nature. They are engaged in gross, but in their subtle nature also, they take the functionality aspects. Even though they don't have vari, the living entities are powerful. The demigods are very powerful. So whenever Brahma wants to create, he begs the mercy from Hiranyagarbha, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and he is given by the mercy of the Lord. But then he sees that Virat is forming. Virat Swarupa is being formed. And as the Virat form is produced, these unmanifested devatas in their subtle nature occupies the position of their functionality. So the description comes, when the two nostrils of the Virata Rupa is formed, two Ashwini Kumars. Arre Baba, they are not manifested. But it doesn't mean they do not exist in their subtle form. And Virata Rupa is also very subtle form. Brahma was able to realize, you don't have buddhi to realize it. So, people don't have faith on the Virata Rupa, even though it's not worshipable. Virata Rupa is a subtle form of the Lord and it is temporary, Prabhupada says. Therefore, you don't see any temple of the Virata Rupa. Personality means manifested an eternal personality. It's available to only those who are Atma Bhakta, those who have developed the Buddhi Yoga. If one receives Buddhi Yoga, it is that he received the mercy of the Lord. So, Advaita Machita Manadi Manantarupam. All this situation, how do you understand? If person doesn't have Buddhi Yoga, even that is difficult to be accepted. Advaitam. Achyutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purushau navayavanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajani. You do not get direct mercy of the Lord through the Vedic literature. Why do you have to waste time in Kali Yuga after studying the Vedas? No. we may respect, we do not blaspheme. But the conclusion is there. Arjun was advised not to get hooked up in the Vedic rituals because they are infested with three modes of material nature. You invest detachment, even the subject matters of the Vedas, and just pick up the conclusion that I am the one who is sitting in everyone's heart, and through me, remembrance, realization, and forgetfulness, all three comes. So pay attention to my personalized form. There is no question of an impersonal form, what they call avyakta rupam. Avyakta rupam means unmanifested form through our naked eyes. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We require divine eyes to see the divine form. The eyes which are not divine, how is it possible for them to visualize the divine form? No. So, yasya deve parabhakti, yatha deve tatha guru, tasya hi kathitha hi artya prakashante mahatmana. This conclusion is given. So therefore, nāyamātmā na pravachanena labhya athva bahunā śrutena va. Yena ātmā labhyate tan labhyate, who will receive tat anutsvam, by his sweet will, whomever he chooses, he will achieve. Now who he will choose, that is his independence. But devotees have to strive, you know, on this recipient of the favor of the Lord. Therefore, they do favorable service to the Lord. If you want favor, then you should perform favorable service. That is the original chamchagiri. That is the original chamchagiri. Means, you become what? Flattery. But it should be positive. Don't make up. All right? Flattery. If you flatter somebody, yes, you will achieve his mercy. They use even in devotional service, which is I don't know. But anyway, if somebody is trying to please a spiritual master, then he will make sure that such favors remain transcendental, and the reciprocation is also transcendental, which can be offerable to Krishna. In polluted state, we can't offer anything. So here we see, for such a devotee, there is nothing valuable to be achieved but Lord's service. How this favor will be recognized, that we are recipient of such favor of the Lord? If chanting of the holy name simply produce more chanting of the holy name, right? Here it is said, for such a devotee, he will be engaged in more devotional service. That is Lord's favor. If the Lord is favorable, because he is pleased by our devotional service, give him finger and he will hold your wrist. He will give you dump more and more devotional service. So if somebody is able to perform more devotional service, you should know that he is favored by the Lord. He must be a pure devotee. Do we accept if somebody comes and we say, Prabhupada, this is to be done, can you? Oh, no, I'm too busy in this. Okay, thank you very much. Why don't we bother them? Because the favorable service opportunity is being not utilized by him. It's unfortunate. So like that. If chanting begets chanting, devotional service begets devotional service, more and more. When people want to convert into fruitive activity, they need something. Now, that is not devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma danavrtam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirattama. If you are able to please Lord Krishna by performing favorable devotional service to Krishna, he will be pleased. There is no way that he will not be pleased. Right? And the direct, the barometer is the pleasure of Guru. So this is the way, you know, one can estimate even whether my practice of devotional service is in correct mood. And he will not be interested in anything which is not pure devotional service. He will remain aloof from it. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart, and he knows the devotee's motive and arranges everything achievable. If our motive is nothing but pure devotional service, where no ulterior motivations are there, then the Lord, who is our facilitator, he will know it, because he is so close than anybody sitting in our own heart. Means, even if we are tiny, he can still become more tinier than us and will sit. He doesn't need a chair. He doesn't need a space. That is something to be understood, that when devotees come in front of Krishna for have darshan, they push each other and goes in somehow or another. That is a natural habit of Paramatma. So even our constitution, composition is so tight. Do you think Paramatma cannot enter in it? He will push other things aside. And so pushing business is sometimes good. In India, nobody bothers about being pushed. But they have been pushing in every phase of life. Even in train, they will push, you know. Even boarding the plane, they are pushing business. Even though they have secured seat, but still pushing is not for, it's the original bad habit. Because Paramatma can push us, you know, and he will occupy the space. It is rightful occupation. some. To push is the right. Right? In other words, for the pseudo devotees, who is anxious to achieve material gains, cannot attain the highest perfectional stage because the Lord is in knowledge of his motive. One merely has to become sincere in his purpose, and the Lord is there to help in every way. So this is the nature of Paramatma, who is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the overseer. There is no need for communication to be established between the jiva and Paramatma. Paramatma is always in communication, but the jiva has to establish his communication with him. He's too close to be heard. He's too close to be heard. So anybody has any question?
Maharaj, wonderful class. I have a question. We often talk about Mayavadis in almost every purport or every lecture. But in today's world, we see very handful of Mayavadis, and mostly the atheist and agnostic people. Let's say in office or any university, we see mostly atheist and agnostic and Mayavadis. So how do we...
I don't know, within few years this survey has become upside down. There is no survey. But in 1970s, there was survey taken. How many are religious? That's a 98%. Only 2% were said to be atheist or agnostics. Because everybody in somehow or another in different belief system also, they were fearing of God. Alright? Even most of religious people are God-fearing people. Because they are in bodily conception of life. But who is not fearful? One who has surrendered to God. So, the percentage is still remaining, that everybody is God-fearing, virtually, right? And who are atheists? Atheists or agnostics, you know, they are hardcore atheists. And they come from Buddhists. Buddhism is atheism. But funny thing is that, why they are chanting the name of Buddha? So would you call them atheist?
It's like this, when we invite them for any lecture or any temple darshan, they still don't want to come. So they don't care whether there's God.
That is the point. That's the point. They do not know anything about God. So similarly, the impersonalist, they are also atheist. As far as the personality of God is concerned. Right? They are also atheist. But nonetheless, who is hooking up them to look into the fervor of religious systems? Must be the Paramatma in their heart. So, ignorance is no excuse, that we understand. But at the same time, only the ignorant are supposed to be qualified to receive the knowledge. So, out of that, some are pious and others are impious. So, who will get the benefit? Pious. they will be more inclined. So in this way, we see that mama vartamanu vartante manushyah partha sarvashah. Krishna has designed all these classifications, and eventually they all come to me. Krishna never bars anybody, atheist or this. They will take a long time. How long they can remain atheist? They'll be sick and tired by their own notions. They act crazy, you know. What they call rationalist, you know, means they look for reason for everything. And they run out of reason. Because how much capacity they have in their little brain, when most of the brain is filled with stool, Prabhupada says. Just chant and everything will take place. Because this is the source of, you know, in Kali Yuga, it's so easy. But yet, everybody is not chanting. So we have to get confirmed, and we try to preach whoever is favorable. For those who have no faith, we don't touch them. And they are hardly 2%. Means go and spread the glories of the Holy Name. Jare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh. And it doesn't require any boundary. And in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada said, yes, you can go in pant and shirt, but start talking about Krishna. The Holy Name itself is so potent. You know, somebody asked a question yesterday in the evening, you know, that they can chant anybody's name. Why only Krishna? No problem, but you won't get love of Godhead. You will be liberated. Liberated. Yes. Anybody can be liberated if they chant. Even by mistake, if somebody is chanting or in delirious way or, you know, without any intention, they get liberated. What's the big deal in liberation? But this liberated state is not eternal. Right? There is no fun in liberation. That's why they come back.
September 65, yes.
Okay.
Then he was confronted with that impersonalist, and Prabhupada knew that he is just after prophet, adoration, distinction.
Right.
So
he's coming from Vivekananda Society, and nowhere else from. Vedanta Society. Swami Nikhilananda. Nikhil means universal, Anand. A tiny jiva who has no connection, how much Anand it would have. And he got the name Nikhil Anand. It doesn't come. Therefore, he could easily be trapped by changing his lifestyle, drinking liquor, you know, wearing pant and shirt. He was the one who told, Swamiji, you have to change according to time, place and circumstances. If you have to leave here. Prabhupada said, I have come to give them, not to take from them. And he didn't bother. Bengalis, no Bengalis. Nikhilanandan, he was also a Bengali. Mishra was Bihari. And everyone is a Khopri. Prabhupada knows everybody. So we go by his authority.
So like Mahaprabhu is Yugavatar, our Prabhupada is Yugacharya.
Right?
Yugacharya.
Both are Bengali Khopris. Prabhupada said, all the great men happen to be in Bengal. We are very famous. All right. Yeah.
Maharaj, you mentioned sort of the guru, faith in guru. So the particular person you quoted, there was Yasadeva with Prabhu's speech. So now we also understand that we got different gurus. We have Chaitya Guru, stays with the heart, and Shiksha Guru, Vastu Protection Guru, and Diksha Guru.
And they are all representative of whom? Krishna. So Krishna is the original guru. Before you jump up to Krishna, Baldev is the original guru. Right? Who reveals the truth of Lord Krishna. So, because we have been so much distant from the Lord, while we fell. So distance is too close to be too far. Because Paramatma is too close and he is the swamsha of Lord Krishna. But we are vibhinnamsha. So even though too close, but too far. What is the element that keeps us too far?
Pride.
False ego. Enviousness. Enviousness and separate desire to lord it over. Both have simultaneously arisen and produces so much distance. Any other comments?
Just suppose we respect and have faith in the Supreme Lord, Adi Guru, and doesn't respect the other gurus, like maybe Vastu Protection Guru or... So, is that...
No, nobody is telling anything different. They are aiding to reveal us more and more truth about Lord Krishna. It is not away from Krishna consciousness. If we are sargrahis or we are taking the essence, then we have to concentrate just like honeybee. So everybody is in respectful position, those who are our different kinds of gurus. So therefore the word guru is always used in plural. And you can't make a personality cult only on your own guru. That is Maya. That's why they do not keep the parampara. They think they are absolute truth themselves. And they want to hijack. Even a person who is a Swami, he puts his name before Krishna, called Sai Ram, Sai Krishna, Sai Siv, Sab Sai. Are, Baba, he is a Swami. He is not Swami of the entirety. Such erroneous idea, you know, that Baba who died was spreading. They are Mayavadis, number one. They turned from impersonalists to Mayavadis. Yeah. Never hear a word from them. Otherwise, your devotion will be doomed. A Buddhi Yoga is there, will be protected. You know, it's like a beacon. Of course, number one.
But today's shloka, if you say it is written, God is seated in everyone's heart. If it is that they say that service to man is service to God.
It's a bluff. It's not practical even. Has anybody proven? He did not prove nothing. He's blurted out. He said other way around. You don't have to go to temple. Your factories, your jobs, they are your temple. Karma hi puja. But karma for whom is puja? Your own stomach? They interpret, misinterpret, not interpret even. They misinterpret. They are offenders. They don't have faith in the Vedas, even though they blurted out, Uttishta Jagrata Varani Bhotata. But then he will not tell Kshurasya Dhara. To walk on the spiritual path is just like walk on a razor's edge. False step will cut you off. You'll be thrown out. So do you think he is not hurt by Kshurasya Dhara? Otherwise, why he turned into Mayavadi? He glorified Indianization. Right? Nothing else. He never chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everything is given conclusion. Means either he did not know the Vedic literature in full, take the opinion of Srila Prabhupada. Don't take my opinion and you will be satisfied. Hindutva, a corrupt version of Vedic rudimentary practices. Rudimentary. Yeah, we are not fully Vedic. But if you become devotionally inclined, all the Vedic system will fall in place and you will not violate anything. Did he give any measure to see who is pleased by your endeavor? No. When he says karma hi puja hai, right? Then what does Bhagavatam says? Dharma svanutaschas punsam visvakshena kathasuya not padaya yadiratin shrama eva hi keva. Karma hi puja hai, but it went on little low grade. Shrama. They glorify Shrama. Shrama is done by even a donkey. And you have to glorify that? What is the end of Shrama? Nothing. Useless labor. Your labor is not fructifying into anything. A temporary patchwork to feed the stomachs, that is called dharma? No. They ignore the soul. They ignore the soul. They do not Think what is transcendental even to this material life. They are Mayavadis, number one. And they are in majority in the whole world. Even you will find in Vrindavan. Have you come to Vrindavan? Oh, you are invited. You'll find lots of Mayavadis. But we don't offend them. Right? Only we can say something of them outside. Just for education purpose. It's like that. Any other thing? Yes, ma'am.
Maharaj, you were talking about the motive in the heart, and you were saying that there is nothing but your motive for your devotional service, and there is no other motive, then the Lord becomes pleased and with that devotee. So sometimes, even while executing devotional service, devotees try to have the motive that they want to please the heart of the Lord, but it's very hard sometimes to distinguish. It becomes a very subtle line of distinction where you are having some ulterior motive to please your own ego or something like that, or in the name of rendering devotional service for the pleasure of the Lord, you might not be actually doing it purely for the pleasure of the Lord, but you know, be satisfied our senses or one-upmanship with others. So how do we distinguish this and be careful?
The Guru guides to see the distinction, but at the same time he will allow, because he is connecting those activities into Krishna consciousness. So for example, mothers are motivated to raise their children and they may not even remember Krishna while raising their children. Prabhupada said that is Krishna conscious activity. Because that is their duty, you know, and they have to perform it. So if they do not come to the temple, or they can't sit in the class because the child cries, so they have to get up, even though they don't like it. So there are limitations, but limitations do not come in your way to chant or remember Lord Krishna. So, limitations are temporary. They are not permanent. But you have to remain motivated to give your child Krishna consciousness all the time. That is your duty. And that is Krishna conscious duty. It is not away from Krishna consciousness. But if you work and Prabhuji have to babysit, that's artificial. Better let the Prabhuji work and mother should do her duties. So we have to tie up the intentions, motivations, you know, that in my duty to raise the children in Krishna consciousness, I may not be able to attend the temple. It's not a big deal. We try our hard, still it may not be satisfactory. But then it is not taking toll of your Krishna consciousness. You are actively engaged in raising the kids in Krishna consciousness. And that is, it's a natural duty. Otherwise, to work, and it is an artificial, imposed duty. It is better to remain in one's natural occupation and keep Krishna in center. That's the meaning. Yes, ma'am. It is impossible to see God in everyone. All right? It's a bluff. Unless one develops a devotional character, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. They think God is all pervading, therefore, God is everywhere. I don't have to see. But what they see is suffering, bodily suffering humanity. So they do patchwork to the bodies, not to the soul. If they are trying to awaken the sleeping soul and remove that ignorance about his reality in connection with the Supreme Reality, it's all ignorance. So Mayavadis are interested only to spread ignorance about the eternal reality. And devotees know. Prabhupada wanted distribution of prasadam that nobody in 10-mile radius should go hungry. But invite them here. You don't go where you cannot chant even Hare Krishna and distribute prasad. What is the use of it? What is the use of it? You can't make any devotee. You can't transform any heart. You can't help them. You help just like Mayavadis help. We are not supposed to do that. So our services are pertaining to the soul rather than to the body alone. Right? That is the difference. They theoretically tell you that, oh, God is everywhere. Well, I can see, but you cannot see. Who can see God in the heart? Only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am. Not only that, but you will be able to see me in truth as well as you will be able to interact with me in truth. Three things are there. Now, there is no devotional service for Mayavadis. So, they manufacture from their fertile brain. Well, Krishna is in them too, but these are suffering. So they call Daridra Narayana. Narayana has become or assumed a poor's job or poor's form. Daridra Narayana. And Daridra Narayana is not a word in the Vedas. They manufacture. They make it popular. You know. Harijan. Yeah. Harijan is for outcast people. They were having only one job, to carry human stool and dump it somewhere. Now, government, not now, since 1970s, you can't tell them Bangi or this or that. They will take you to the court and you will pay the fine. Respect them regardless of what they do. But it's so superficial, does not satisfy the instruction of the Vedas. It's a partial page up. The first effect will be you will be increasing your devotional service on a spontaneous level. It will be increased. Therefore, the result of chanting is it begets more chanting. Performance of pure devotional service will beget more personal service. And the Lord will depend upon you. He'll be eagerly waiting for you to perform your services. Because he's pleased, he's giving you more service. You can't hesitate. Those who are spontaneous devotees, they can be given any task to perform. You may show your hesitation out of humility, fine. You may show your limitation of the knowledgeability, fine. But you may not show the hesitation not to go. We have examples. Tamakrishna Maharaj, you know, he is a heavy hand, right? So, many devotees were against him. So they went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you know, it's difficult to work with him. You know, he's a heavy hander. Tamakrishna Maharaj said, oh, nobody likes me. So I might go to China. It blurted out from his mouth. Prabhupada said, yes, you should go to China. He said, oh no. I just said, no, you have to go to China. He said, oh my God. But he went and he created wonderful, you know, preaching. That is spontaneous. We have to learn from this. Lots of devotees in ISKCON, they have undertaken the task to spread Srila Prabhupada's movement. However they may look or hanging or whatever, whether they blooped or not, doesn't matter. Service rendered can never be forgotten. Krishna never forgets. Prabhupada never forgets. You know.
So, yeah. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, at the time of death, you should remember me. Even Bhagavatam says, Amitaya Narayana Smriti. Now in Islam, we see Allah and Krishna both are saying this, that Allah is different personality. I mean, it's one aspect of Krishna. Jihad, they kill people and at the time of death, they're calling out Allah.
Right. So the intentions are also different. They don't go to surrender to Allah. There is no surrendering attitude to Allah. They have no knowledge of service to Allah. Yeah, but again, is it a favorable service to Allah or disfavorable?
According to them, it is favorable.
No.
Because they are killing and
Their entire thinking is out of rebellion to Christianity. So they have their enmity with Christianity. Otherwise the story is the same. They quote the same thing as in Old Testament, Abraham was told by the Lord when he put his son Joshua as the on the altar of sacrifice. And these guys are telling Kurbani. But the clear instructions are there both in the Bible, Old Testament, that Abraham, your Lord, does not like the burnt remnants of ram. Right? So similarly, in this Quran is also said then, you know, not of the flesh, nor of the blood, the Lord is pleased, but thy virtuous deeds. And they say, virtuous deed, okay, have a lamb or a goat, sacrifice it. Well, this is their interpretation, misinterpretation. So where is the verification that the Lord is pleased? They give a blunt response that this is our standard understanding, that every Muslim has a right to select a sacrificial animal to show their gratitude to the Lord. The instructions are completely different, you know. But that's the way they are indoctrinated.
Yeah, even animals and even go to the level of killing humans.
Yes.
That, jihad, I mean, should not exist. So that's
no sane, you know, sane religious leaders is approving that. After all, fanatic beliefs are the only one. They start the intolerable situation. So naturally, they get the reaction. But none of them are on devotional platform. To be with complying with the religion doesn't mean that they are devotees. All right? So thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.